My safe haven, your wise choice. The Crescent Club, where you belong.
Wendy's famous 4-for-4 is heating up with the new Spicy Crispy Chicken Sandwich. The Queen of Spice is delivering that spicy chicken you love with lettuce and mayo between two deliciously soft buns. And yes, in classic 4-for-4 fashion, you can get all that spicy goodness with spicy or crispy nuggets, fries, and a drink to cool off, all for just $4. Is it getting hot in here? Or did Wendy's just deliver the hottest deal in fast food? We got you.
Offer includes 4-piece nuggets, junior fry, and value drink. Price and participation may vary.
This is a special end-of-summer announcement from Dell. At our Labor Day sale, small businesses can save up to 50% on select business computers with Intel Core processors. We're committed to taking your business to the next level. Give our small business technology advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business with Labor Day savings. Visit Dell.com/businessdeals or call us at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
It's game on at Samstown Hotel and Gambling Hall Tunica. With their focus on your safety, you can focus on winning. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-777-9696.
Allstate has new lower auto rates. Nope. Allstate has new lower auto rates. Allstate has new lower auto rates. Allstate has new lower auto rates.
Allstate has new lower auto rates. There we go. For new lower auto rates, visit Allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today.
Savings vary. Prices vary based on how you buy. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Not applicable in California. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
O'Reilly. It's O Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you can earn bonus points on more than 250 offers, like Bosch Icon Wiper Blade, save $8 per pair, and earn double O Rewards points. Online or in-store, get $5 for every 150 points you earn. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Honey, do you hear that?
Yeah, what is that?
Oh, my God, the roof is leaking. Okay, I got this. Look out, coming through.
What are you doing?
I'm catching the water to keep us from drowning. What are you doing?
I'm calling Bennett Roofing. They've got 24-hour emergency service and can get our roof fixed in no time. Put those pots away. I just washed those.
Licensed and insured, Bennett Roofing offers 24-hour emergency service on all roof repair. Visit them at BennettRoofingMemphis.com or call them at 901-359-9708.
Hey, everybody, this is Coach Penny Hardaway. When I want to throw a party for friends or family, I want it to be a taste of Memphis, and that means Corky's Barbecue. Order online or call ahead and pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Season is almost here, with the reigning champs set to take the field to kick off the season. No better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings. They're the leader in one-day fantasy sports. So to celebrate week one of the football season, DraftKings is putting you in the center of the action with two shots at a $1 million top prize. So get in on all the action now. Making it rain with DraftKings is really easy. You draft your team, you stay under the salary cap, pile up yards, touchdowns, and so much more. And you get points for those. All this cash up for grabs. There is no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings. So download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code WMFS to get a free shot at a $1 million top prize. And for a limited time, you get your share of $100 million in prizes once you enter DraftKings free survivor pool. That's promo code WMFS to get in on all of the action for a limited time only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Other terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Is this 351-team NCAA tournament going to work? Let's get into that. Let's do the rundown.
Now, it's the rundown presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, so technically it would not be 351, Jason, because only 346 are eligible for postseason play based on APR issues, Oklahoma State, for example.
Oh, wow, people are digging into this now.
Yeah, so only
based on APR.
Only 346 Division I schools would be eligible for tournament play this season.
KenPom has 353, by the way. How'd they get to 351?
I don't know.
Okay.
Good question. But as Joe Lunardi points out, that is 324 more teams than the NBA sent to its bubble.
Point that out. Safety.
Against
safety.
Yep.
Theoretically.
Lunardi is not a proponent of this. He says the bracket itself, while amusing, would tax even the best of us. The basic math dictates that 166 teams receive opening round byes. The remaining 180 would play 90 additional games to create a symmetrical field of 256 teams, followed by a tidy eight-round gauntlet through the Final Four. And we're increasing the number of games with travel and risk from 67 to 345. That's a five-fold increase. And while epidemiology is not my ology, I do know that infectious disease transmission is not arithmetic. We would be looking at way, way, way more than five times the amount of exposure. All of this just so that Chicago State, well, everybody's using Chicago State as like
that's kind of sad we're all beating up
well,
on
because
them.
They stink. I mean, well, they've averaged four wins a season.
There are other stank teams out there. We could grab plenty of those.
Yeah, but they're the worst of them, though, that they seem to be the worst of them. All of this just so that Chicago State can be part of a celebration of the game. No disrespect to the Cougars, but that makes about as much sense as putting – the expansion winless Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the 76 NFL playoffs. So Lunardi is definitively against
it would truly affect his job in terms of the seeding, the bracket, all that. Sure, what would
Jason,
you have him left for?
Jason,
seeding?
Jason
he wouldn't
says
have you in based
Lunardi Perlow.
That's what would happen to him. No, I mean, of course he's going to be, and rightfully so, he's got all the same viewpoints on him pretty much that we laid out in the first segment. But that's it. It would literally make him useless, other than the seeding portion of it, right? And half of his job is telling you how many teams the ACC going to have, how many teams the PAC going to have, all that stuff. How many teams the AAC going to have? That's part of his deal. Well, it takes out that whole part of his job. Forget it. And so all he's doing is seeding 1 through 346.
Yep.
You said that are going to be eligible because you throw out the APR teams that can't. That kills him. Why still pay him if you're ESPN?
Well, I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into whether or not Joe Lunardi can continue to get a check.
My point is, of course, he's going to be against it. Here's the thing. Do those couple of extra rounds, like we talked about with Giannotto, like you're talking about right now, does that really interest CBS and Turner? They're going to give you more money because of that, right? You are filling. It's content for them, sure.
Yep.
But we've said it's going to be bad content in a lot of cases. And that's what these ACC schools don't care about. Right, they just okay. We'll get the contract with CBS with Turner. We'll get a little bit more money. Don't care how many people are watching. We've got our money.
Yep.
The question is, are CBS and Turner going to see the value in that? Is just filling those time slots, even though you know you're at a time right now where you're looking for programming.
Yep.
Is there enough value in that, even if you don't have very many eyes on it? They may say yes, but I would imagine the answer is no. That what we've got in terms of the 68-team field is something we know works. It's something we know is going to continue to make money, and we're going to stick with that. Again, in a time where, frankly, you want as few teams in a bubble as possible, a situation like that, more controllable, which is what we want across all sports right now when you're in terms of mitigating risk. And this throws that out the window.
Yeah, so I don't really think this will get off the ground, to be quite honest with you. And I want Joe to continue to have a job. I want everybody to continue to have a job.
Joe gonna get laid off if this happens,
and we definitely we don't want that. And so, based on that and that alone, Joe's job security, we are gonna absolutely stamp this out,
shot it down.
But we shall see. I mean, it is interesting. Only the ACC is behind this. You're not seeing like, oh, everybody's not coming together like that. Seeing the Avengers, right, when they all reappear, you know, this ain't like that. It's just like,
but then they all disappear. Right, don't they all die?
No, that was before.
Oh,
then
I can't keep
for
the
them to up. For them to reappear. Yes, they had to disappear at one point. But remember, at the end of you know the movie.
No, the last one I saw, they all just turned to dust.
Well, why did you stop there? Why did you stop there in the Infinity War trilogy, whatever? Or what? Why would you not finish it out?
So they all come back.
because there's a very dramatic scene, man, when they're about to take on Thanos. And they all, through these circles, they all come back
in. Well, no spoilers here for those of us old heads
God,
that haven't caught up
yet. Didn't sound like you were really going to get there.
I thought we just finished it off with they're gone.
No, that's not how that's not it. Have you ever watched a superhero movie?
Sad, too. My
son was
crying.
You think that's how you're just going to leave it?
I can't tell which one's the next one.
Well, I don't know exactly, but
try that.
They reappear, and it's very like black.
You don't even know. You're sitting up here trying to school.
I don't know. I don't remember the names.
Which one is the next one to go to that?
I don't remember the names of them.
Well, CJ was crying.
But I definitely watched all of them in order. Oh, it was
Black Panther died, Brad.
Endgame is the last one. Avengers Endgame. Uh-huh. And at the end of the Endgame movie, they all reappear with these magic circles from Doctor Strange. It is very Black Panther's
telling
one of
me the
them.
Whole plot. I don't even need to watch it anymore. Just say they come back and tell me which one it is so we can put CJ in front of it. He can be happy.
Well,
again.
They all, I mean, Spider-Man, you know, he you know who dies at the end of Endgame, though, for real, for real.
Don't spoil it.
There
for
is
me.
One. There's one death that is permanent in this particular film arc.
Chadwick Boseman, unfortunately.
Well, no, but yes, but no. It's Tony Stark.
Oh, Iron Man, he's gone.
Iron Man, we lost him.
You too many spoilers today. Again, because some of us are just catching up. Remember, I saw Hamilton like 3 years later.
Dude, you slow as hell.
Okay?
You slow as hell, dude.
And it's a problem for you.
What are you doing in the time? Like, what were you doing in the years 2017, 2018, and 2019?
Not taking not going to kids' movies by myself.
Well, you got a kid.
I do now.
You've always had a kid.
You couldn't take him then, Johnny. One year's old. What are you talking about?
Okay, fine. So you didn't want to do see this. Okay, fine.
And I told you, one is for Spider-Man. One of the first ones we did, Miles Morales. Okay.
Hamilton.
But again, he doesn't
explain
have the attention span, even still at 6, for most movies to stay there for an entire hour and a half, 2 hours. Parents of 6-year-olds, 5-year-olds know what I'm talking about. That you can't relate to this point. Maybe one day you will be able to, but the attention span's too short to be able to stay with a movie that long. So what the hell am I still sitting there watching it for after he's done? He's walked off after 30 minutes, gotten over on the Switch.
Okay, so what you're telling me is that as a parent, until the last year
until
to 2 years,
attention span gets a little bit...
You have been living a quite miserable life.
Again, I just don't watch kids' movies. If that makes me miserable...
Hamilton is an adult movie.
I told you, I caught up late to that, and you're holding it against me. I'm not going to hate on it. I've enjoyed the lyrics to the song.
You watch it every day now.
No. CJ does.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Weirdly enough, I don't.
Well, like
it's overkill.
Well, isn't that what kids do? Like, they get fixated on these movies.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
They want to watch it every single day.
But he's a little weird about it, trying to learn the lyrics to every song. He's only 6. He doesn't know nothing about the colonies and independence. But
uh-huh. Well,
he's sitting here saying words he doesn't know.
He will.
Anyway, that doesn't mean I need to get to it any quicker. That's the point.
Okay. Well, I think it does mean that, actually. But this is not like the end of Endgame, where all the conferences Endgame, join okay. up. Okay.
I should have asked Bennett. He would have clued me in.
And
earlier than you.
And they all show up and take on Thanos. This is just the ACC doing whatever the hell it wants to do, and I doubt it gets off the ground.
Next story.
Giannis gone. Bucks gone. And I don't mean he's leaving the team. I think he'll be around for a little while. The question's going to be how long does he sign the Supermax? But the Bucks go down to the Heat. I believe the Heat kept hearing this last night. It was a good thing. I think Brevin even tweeted about it. First 5 seed to make a conference final since the Memphis Grizzlies. Remember that back in 2013? And I think we knew. Look, before even Giannis went down, after game one, Ryan McDonough, I think, said it with us. We're watching it. The Heat looked like the favorite. Now, some had them picked beforehand, but particularly after game one, even with Giannis still healthy, the Heat looked like they were going to win this series, and they absolutely finished it out yesterday, albeit with Giannis gone. Again, not sure he would have made all that much of a difference, though, because we see in terms of the way he closes games, there's still a lot of questions. The question now for him is, do you sign the $220 million Supermax extension that'll put him in a Bucks uniform through 2025-26, or do you sign something shorter? Do you seek to leave via a trade? Now, to some extent, he answered the trade question, didn't he, John, last
yes,
night?
Yes, he did, with Chris Haynes.
With Chris Haynes, and said no, and his way of answering that was, I when walls are built, I plow through them.
Yes.
So, basically, I'm here to win a championship was his point. The question is going to be, do you lock in
exactly.
for the full Supermax on the for 220, or do you do something similar to what – he's got a bunch of options here.
Yeah.
He can sign a couple of contracts. He can do a one-and-one like Kevin Durant did. And that seems to me to be at a time where, because of the decline in revenue,
yep.
right, you still got the league trying to set the salary cap, going to be the same, they think, next season, but will you get the big increase come 22-23? Don't you want to sit and wait around and see so you can max out? As Jalen Rose was saying this morning, that 220 on a max could go up to 250 depending upon where that salary cap could get to. So you could be yes, it sounds great, supermax right now, $220 million, but it could get greater later, which would give you at a time where you've got all the flexibility in the world right now in terms of if you're Giannis, you've got all the power coming down to your last year on your contract. Everybody wants you. The Bucks are going to do what you say. Wouldn't it be smart at this point to sign a 1-1 and see what they do, right? And maybe, and here's the question we asked PJ yesterday about Budenholzer. You know, do you let him go for the sake of saying, hey, we changed things up? You do this if you're Giannis, you know, with what you've built with Budenholzer, you give it another chance. More importantly, you see what that sort of shakeup, if it's not going to be Budenholzer, could be. And could it be going out and getting a player like Chris Paul, who seemed, John, you talked about this the other day when he did the video about his time in OKC and how emotional he got. That looked like a man who knew he was done. There was more evidence that Oklahoma City is going this way, right, going to look to deal Paul because of what happened with Billy Donovan yesterday. Billy Donovan, Oklahoma, agreeing to part ways because Oklahoma wants to take a step back, quite frankly, rebuild, right, and Donovan doesn't want to be a part of that. It'll be interesting to see whether he goes to another job in the NBA because there's some open. Yep. Philly is open. Yep. I doubt he'd mess with my Bulls. Philly's a much better situation.
Yes.
That said, everything points to Chris Paul being on the move. If you're Giannis, why not see for a year? If you could do it, if a Chris Paul gets you over the hump. I guess the question I would ask you, John Martin, where I want you, is telling me, do you think Chris Paul and Giannis with Middleton, and, you know, they'd find a way to work out, pay that $44 million, whatever it's going to be,
yep,
strip that thing down, they can get that done. Do you think that team gets them in the finals, but not only the finals, beating a Clippers or an L.A. the next year or so?
Well, so first of all, like, the story itself to me is not even a story. Like, I guess I would have written it if I were Chris Haynes just because it's a quote from Giannis about him not asking for a trade. But I don't think anybody out here was operating under the assumption that he would ask for a trade. I don't think anybody thought it was going to end that way, right? I mean, people largely expect him to do exactly what you mentioned, which is sign a 1+1, and then if he doesn't get what he wants after that 1 year, move on like KD did from the Warriors, right? So that's just the way it normally goes. So it was really a story, but not at the same time. Much ado about nothing, in my opinion. To me, the only way
that he'd be worried about the whole sort of, and again, trade is different, but the Kevin Durant perception that you left and you had to go do it somewhere else.
Well, if
you don't think what he was telling Chris was real, that he's not going to ask for a trade.
Oh, I think that's real.
Yeah, okay.
But you're just saying we assumed that
so we didn't need it officially from him? Absolutely,
well,
you did.
I look at it like
that team needed it.
Well, yeah,
I guess. Those players.
That all sounds good. So sign the Supermax then.
That's ridiculous because, again, if you do that, you're tying – Milwaukee has the power. They've got you locked up.
Well, if you really want to be in Milwaukee –
And you're probably costing yourself some millions.
That's what I'm saying, though. If you really want to be in Milwaukee, like you say you do, you say you want to plow through, you came here, so just sign the Supermax.
No. I want to be in Milwaukee, but I want to know that Milwaukee's going to continue to do the things they need to do to put the right things around me. That's the way you do that, right?
Yeah,
and that's
why you
sign short-term.
You have to hold their feet to the fire. That's definitely true.
I realize a small market, we're thinking about Ja, you want – You put him in that situation.
Every
you
year,
want him locked
pressure up. Pressure on the organization.
But if you're Giannis, you totally give away your power signing that long-term deal.
You're right. I mean, you're right on some level. But that's why I look at statements like these and stories like these. Like I just look at them like,
No, I get that part. You know, you're not getting
the minute it goes south, you're out, and that's fine. That's the way it is in the NBA. The minute it goes south in these markets for these superstars, if you don't have a year where you get where you want to get, you'll leave. And again, I'm not begrudging him for that, by the way. I don't think he should inherently have to stay in Milwaukee his entire career just because that's who drafted him. I don't subscribe to that.
My whole thing on them not coming through this year is more about him than it is what they've got, than what they've done to sort of support him. Like you saw, Chris Middleton's an all-star.
Yep.
And at this point, if Giannis was a true finisher, right, they'd have gotten past Miami. And again, that's setting aside health and all that stuff. But after the first game, they didn't look like the favorites anymore. So there's that. Now, if you're Giannis, what are you going to say? Hey, if I go work on my jumper, my finishing, that's
right.
The way. No.
Like, what's the path?
You're going to want a big shakeup,
yep,
which to me, again, makes all the sense in the world. Go get a Chris Paul, who is that closer, along with Middleton, who can create spacing with pick and roll with you and Giannis all day long works.
Yep.
Unlike the OKC situation, everything isn't tied onto Chris Paul's back, So you run the risk of him running out of gas like he did at the end of that Houston series.
Yep.
It's a nice three. Again, I think, you know, depending upon what we see with Boston and Miami, it probably puts you right there again at the top of the East, not just there, but maybe in a position where you can challenge teams like the Clippers, like the Lakers for a title. I'd go for it on the 1-1 if I'm Giannis and give it a shot. Again, then you're not tied to it, and should everything just go awry and it gets ugly because you've stripped away the team for the most part other than the stars, the three big stars, and it gets that's when you bounce. But it seems to me like the smartest thing to do for him, particularly at a time where you're still trying to – NBA's still trying to figure out the salary cap because it stands to lose a ton of money here, a ton of revenue because of everything from China to the bubble to everything else.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is – I mean, honestly, if I'm a Milwaukee Bucks fan, I'm feeling some type of way about the fact that Malcolm Brogdon's not with my franchise anymore. They chose Eric Bledsoe over Brogdon, basically. I mean, really? I don't know about that one.
Well, I think they got a pick for Brogdon, didn't they, from Indiana?
I'm sure they got something. I'm sure they had
a lot. That was a lot of money, too.
But, I mean, Brogdon is better than Bledsoe, though, and he's younger. You know, I mean, I feel like that was probably would Brogdon
have
meant
up a first rounder too for Bledsoe?
They would it have meant they beat the Heat? Probably not. But you know, these are the decisions that sort of matter that make or break a guy's tenure at this particular spot. You know,
so you're telling me they got Brogdon, they get through.
I'm not saying they get.
This was more about Giannis.
Oh, it 100% is.
I mean, hell, they won a game without him to that point.
Yes. You know, this is all on Giannis. I mean, this is all on sort of where he fits in the lexicon of great players. Is he, and by the way, he's not alone. He has a lot of help. But is he a guy who can be the best player on a team, right?
In the closing minutes.
And in the closing minutes and then win a title.
He is clearly during the first 3.5 quarters. Oh. For 3 quarters, he is. It's
and
much
the
like
regular season.
You've heard the comparison nationally. He's like that. He's a Shaq. That in the fourth quarter, at the end of the games, you're not going to go to him because, again, in the free throw shooting,
yep.
You need a closer.
Yep.
And, if it can't just be Middleton, why not go out and make a splash and do the Chris Paul thing? Again, it makes all the sense in the world from the way the news has sort of come out with Chris and the emotional goodbye. Basically, it sounded like the OKC. Billy Donovan's out. Maybe we see him in Philly. But OKC's going backwards. And in that news, too,
yep.
The Grizzlies probably moved up a spot. Right, without Chris Paul, OKC, you figure the Grizzlies move up a spot in the West next year. That's a team you'd think that you can put below them, even though they still got some pieces. Still like the way the Grizzlies are built better. So good news for them. Could be good news for the Bucks. Again, I'd pay to see Chris Paul and Giannis and Middleton and that three and what they could do. Keep in mind, it's not just Miami too. I've only mentioned Miami and Boston. Obviously, you're going to have another big player in the East with Kyrie and KD in that team. So. We'll see if it's enough. I'm not sure it is, quite frankly, with Kyrie and KD.
Next story.
Interesting email we got today, Jason. I wanted to mention this because I know you are now a sort of a huge theater buff, a huge Orpheum buff. This is a relevant story here in the Memphis area. So, unfortunately, Broadway is one of the areas that has gotten hit the hardest of COVID, right? Because unlike sports, Broadway can't just televise their events and get a contract or get, you know, whatever, millions and millions of dollars. They have to actually hold things, have people come in, spend money at the concession stand. I mean, sports in some way is feeling that a little bit, but not quite to the extreme. They've had to reschedule. I think this is their second time. So they announced today that they are hoping, obviously, to open their Broadway season down there at the Orpheum March 2021. So what is that, 6 months from now? Six entire months from now, that is what they're hoping. They will start it off with Mean Girls. You familiar with Mean Girls? Lindsay Lohan?
No.
Okay. Jimmy Buffett's Escape to Margaritaville. That's going to be Brad. You in line for that one?
It's
a big one for the 54 and ups.
No.
Hell yeah. Like, little Caucasian persuasion.
Yeah, a little older than us, right? Yeah. But 54 and ups.
Hadestown, which I'm not familiar with. Hamilton is going to be here again. So you can take CJ. I mean, if my man's watching.
If he's still interested by that time.
Is he really going to get out? He's going to grow out of it that quickly, you think?
Like you said, it happens in phases. He'll get addicted to something else.
So Hamilton will be here for 12 days. The Band's Visit, not familiar with that. Disney's The Lion King will be here for an 18-day
stay. Now, that
stay.
One I will go. I will bring. I'm into
You will
Lion
do The
King.
Lion King.
Yes.
Interesting.
Love The Lion King.
I'll probably take CJ there. He loved the movie
kids,
and the remake.
Kids love The Lion King, John.
Oh, absolutely.
Cats. will be here.
Oh, that's a great one.
Cats. Yeah. And then Jesus Christ Superstar.
Okay.
Also
okay.
a good one, yeah.
And this has a date of 2022, January 2nd, 20. So that's like, wow, I can't even
and these are all at the Orpheum here in Memphis.
And these are all at the Orpheum.
Well, that's good they're getting it back.
So when the Orpheum gets Hamilton,
yes.
do they get a
no.
similar cast?
No.
It's a second tier.
It's
cast.
The touring. It's the touring cast.
Okay, yeah. So not even close to what I get in the Disney version.
It's not Leslie Odom, and it's not Lin-Manuel Miranda. Okay, I'm sorry.
So those guys aren't that good?
I well, heard. You I mean, they're about, not. They're
I think
not
it was
with bad.
Jeff. You said underwhelming.
They're not bad. They're okay. they're. I mean, they, yeah. I mean, to be on the tour, you have to be accomplished and talented.
Obviously,
but they're nobody that you know.
But I'm saying, am I going to be disappointed having watched? The main ones.
I think so.
And the way they knocked it out of
I think so.
And then go to that.
Now, I will
now,
say.
Obviously, the experience of the Orpheum is going to be great.
I didn't even see.
It's more of the, well, is you can only go down, right?
Well, it's
in
true.
Terms of.
No, I did not even see the original Hamilton. So I can only imagine what I would have thought had I seen the original. But the issue that Hamilton ran into,
yes.
and it's not Hamilton's fault, but it was so well regarded and so highly reviewed that your expectations going into this thing were just astronomical. Yeah. Like, it was going to be an awakening of sorts. Like, it was going to be the greatest thing you ever saw. And it was good. It was just good. That's it. Like, it was just good. And so, therefore, by that metric, it was disappointing. Because I expected
right.
to basically ascend into a different state of nirvana.
Oh.
And to basically...
The best Broadway play ever
for my soul to leave my body... And by the time it was over,
that's what you because of how much you paid. That's what you thought was going to happen.
Yes, yeah. I thought. Yeah, exactly right. I was like, this is going to be a transformative experience. I'm going to come out speaking two different languages, and I'm going to know everything about the universe. And that's just not how it was. It was good, but it was not life changing, Jason. That being said, I love the Orpheum. It is such a huge part of Memphis. I love any time I have a chance to go down there. I know you went down there to play your mini golf, and you've been supporting. You didn't pay, though. You went got the media tour.
Yes.
Did you drop a donation off or something? I mean, did you do anything down there, or did you just take advantage of the hospitality?
I took advantage. I'm here to spread the word. You should do it.
I think that the golf thing is a very creative idea.
It is. I mean, you're trying to get through, right? You're
doing all they can.
Absolutely.
Screening movies. They're doing everything they can right now.
But the Orpheum has announced that they will start up their season in March 2021, and for everybody's sake, I hope that happens.
Next story.
I got one more. And Brad, if you don't mind, could you look up, give me a little YouTube,
sure.
a little beat, a little stir it up
yes,
from
sir.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
For what I'm about
little
to get
Axel
on to.
Little Axel F.
You remember that?
Oh,
remember
I
that song,
Axel
Stir
F.
It Up?
Yes.
You remember the year 1985, what a good
stir
year it,
up. It
was? That would be from the great Patti LaBelle, and here's the reason. This weekend, Sunday, we've been talking about the versus battles.
Yes.
Most recently, Brandon and Monica, very controversial there. I'm on Monica Island. Everybody else says Brandy's
oh,
the better singer.
Baby.
But do you see what you've got coming up on Sunday at 7 o'clock? The latest versus. Two queens in the game. Patti LaBelle, who you hear right now, taking you back to the 80s, Beverly Hills Cop. This is one of her more underrated songs, man, the underappreciated songs. John even bobbing his head right now, feeling that. Axel Foley. Patti LaBelle versus Gladys Knight this weekend.
Oh.
So there's Monica and Brandy, then there's Patti LaBelle and Gladys Knight. Again, you got princesses and you got queens. And this weekend, we get the queens. Patti LaBelle. Let me tell you a little something, John, about Patti. There wasn't just this in the 80s because she's
Patti.
Been dominating since the 70s and the 60s, quite frankly. 70s more so.
Patti pumping
the
80s. Kango Kid.
Different Patti here, though. The great Patti. Patti LaBelle.
I'm the great
there's
Patti.
This one, Stir It Up. Again, underappreciated. Lely Marmalade. Y'all remember Gitchy Gitchy, Ya
oh,
Ya
yeah,
Ya?
Yeah,
that's
I
Lely
it,
Marmalade.
Man.
Huge hit. If Only You Knew from 1983.
Awesome.
If you ask me to, yes. 1989, Somebody Loves Your Baby, 1991, how could
yes.
we forget?
Yes.
And again, you see through the decades these songs, I'm giving you these names.
Great,
but do
great.
Not underestimate the great Gladys Knight, who has, again, been doing it since the 60s. Remember Friendship Train with Gladys Knight and the Pips, 1969. Neither One of Us moving up 4 years to 1973. Midnight Train to Georgia.
Yeah.
Which is crossover all day.
Absolutely.
Even John Patti. Martin knows about that one.
Patti.
This is Gladys Knight, fool. We switched over. That was 1973. And then another underappreciated song from Gladys, Love Overboard, 1980. Love love overboard. One of the strong, she's got that strong, strong John from the diaphragm.
Yes, that's right.
Much deeper sound than Patty, who could really do everything. But this represents on Sunday over on the live stream on Versus, one of the great battles we've had so far. We've had some good ones. Remember Badu and Jill Scott?
Yes.
That was a good one.
Yes.
This is going to break it, John.
Yes.
This is going to break it because you're going to have the crossover audience coming over.
Let me tell you about Patty. Patty.
What's your Patty LaBelle take, fool?
Patty has...
Midnight Train to Georgia. I hear you, Brad.
Who
Brad
won
knows
Erykah
about
Badu
this.
Who won Badu one? Is there a winner?
To me, it was Jill Scott.
Okay.
But again, Badu's... You can't go wrong there. You can't
Patty.
But again, I get these wrong. I said Monica won the other one, and people say Brandy won.
I don't see... And I love both of those artists. I think Gladys is the better of the two. I mean, just so much. There's so much there.
Yeah, but let me tell you something that Gladys does not have.
Oh, no.
Okay?
Well, she's not with the Pips anymore.
She does not have... The Good Life Sweet Potato Pie, available in Walmart.
Good
That's
point.
What you know about. Patty LaBelle is Patty the cook.
What y'all
you don't
know?
Even know Patty the hitmaker.
What y'all know
I get it,
about
though.
Them sweet potato pies
Bro,
from Patty?
Off the chain.
You love them sweet potato pies. You like them?
Do I like them? And we were at one point, man, my wife's getting three or four of them at a time.
You couldn't eat four a day?
Not eating them, just having them stored in the fridge. You'd go and
the Patty LaBelle pies.
You wouldn't just get one pie, you'd get three or four. They're unbelievable.
And it has no trans fat.
And yeah, I think you're right on this. Gladys doesn't have anything nearly
Gladys,
as much of a hit in the food industry as
Gladys
Patty does
tried
here.
Something but, with these chicken and waffle restaurants,
oh,
but
no.
The reality of the situation is, the people that she's entrusted to run this thing, they owe money. They owe money.
Where'd you look
this
that
man.
Up at? Bro, and again, Patty LaBelle can't give us that pie, John, while she's serving up the hits on Sunday, okay? She can't feed you while she's giving you all these hits.
What you need to do is you need to go to Walmart and you need to get yourself three or four Patty LaBelle pies like it would be a normal Thursday.
I'm going to do that on Sunday.
And just whip that thing up.
John, what you need is a new attitude.
Huge hit here.
Massive.
These Versus things are awesome. I enjoy them. I mean, not so much this one. I don't really care about this one.
Pick your fighter. Who's your winner?
I got to go Patty.
Sounds like Brad is taking
hard
Gladys.
From my head to my toes.
Look how excited
know where
he
I'm
is,
going
right?
And I know what to do.
You just set him down in the 80s and he's at home.
Yeah, I will say.
Much like that's one of the areas I relate to you, Brad. Because those 80s
well,
were a big
part. You and I the same
part.
Age.
No
I
doubt.
Mean,
no doubt.
And believe it or not, like I had a little culture in. I mean, like I would watch Showtime at the Apollo. I
Listen
mean,
to you.
I would watch this. I mean, this is good stuff. This is a tough one for me because there's so much nostalgia when you say Patty LaBelle. And I love
the 80s.
That's
why I think you picking Gladys might have been wrong. I think you more associated with the Patty songs.
I love these Patty LaBelle songs.
Especially in the 80s, man.
It's Patty.
They're both great.
Will be one of the greatest verses ever. It's on
Good
Sunday
story.
At 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
We'll tell you who the winner was on Monday. Probably going to be Patty LaBelle.
Going to be our open on Monday.
Maybe some of the
and
music.
And a butt whooping in fantasy later on in the week as well.
We got a big one. All right, we will come back. Paul Feinbaum is going to join us. We'll talk to him about Patty LaBelle's career and college football on the other side. Jason and John, 99.5 FM, ESPN.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. And the reason it's great is because the folks at the Smile Center take care of you and treat you like family. You don't feel like you're going to the dentist as much as you feel like you're going to see friends. So if you're looking for a new dentist, look no further than the Smile Center. It's Dr. Mady Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. They are open and treating patients, and needless to say, they're taking all of the necessary health precautions to keep you and your family safe. Yes, the Smile Center is currently accepting new patients, and they're offering Zoom teeth whitening specials with free consultations through the end of September. So if you're unhappy with your smile, the color of your teeth just isn't quite right, let the Smile Center fix that for you. Appointments are available right now. You can schedule one by calling 901-309-1333. Again, the address is 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101, and the phone number is 901-309-1333. That's the Smile Center on the web, SmileCenterMemphis.com.
Make a splash this summer when you stay at Sam's Town Hotel and Gambling Hall Tunica. Enjoy the sizzling table games and slots action before cooling off in the pool. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-777-9696.
With all the uncertainty in the world today, our mental wellness is being tested like never before. I'm Listening is here to remind you that you are not alone. Each day, we highlight conversations with celebrities, athletes, and mental health professionals who share their experiences to help you manage manage feelings of anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Join us Wednesday, September 23rd at 6 p.m. for a two-hour in-depth discussion as we take the mental health temperature of the nation. For more, visit imlistening.org. Remember, talk has the power to save lives.
Let's be real. Mopping is a hassle. You have to fill the bucket, pushing a wet, heavy mop around, then cleaning the mop when you're done so it doesn't grow bacteria. A hassle on top of a hassle. Try Swiffer WetJet. With Swiffer WetJet, you start with a fresh pad and cleaning solution every time. And when you're done, you just toss the pad. Swiffer WetJet. The faster, easier, cleaner way to clean your floors.
This is time that matters. A window of time to help protect the ones you love. Your preteen benefits from staying up to date with their well visits. This is your window of protection. Schedule their well visit now. Brought to you by Merck.
This is your alarm on an ordinary vacation.
Hello, ma'am. This is your wake-up call.
This is your alarm on a real vacation. Go on a real vacation. Go RV. Take the wheel at your nearest RV dealer or at GoRVing.com.
I am Disinfector.
What's with him?
I told him flu shots gave us a superpower against germs.
CVS is your one-stop shop for immunity support. From hand wipes to vitamins that are third-party tested to confirm they meet our high standards.
Take that, germs!
Plus, get a $5 off $20 shopping pass when you get a free flu shot. Visit CVS today. No-cost flu shots with most insurance. Restrictions apply. Visit CVS.com and CVS.com/tested for details.
Morgan & Morgan, dial #529 on your cell phone. Pound law, that's all.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Paul Finebaum is a Memphian. He is the host of the Paul Finebaum Show, ESPN Radio, and the SEC Network. Let's make him the giant interview.
Now, it's the Giant Interview, presented by King of Clean, with electrostatic cleaning, pressure washing, and much more for Memphis and the Mid-South. The King of Clean Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Mr. Finebaum, how goes it?
Jason, John, thank you. Great to be back on. And, man, things are starting to happen, aren't they?
They are. They absolutely are.
What do you think? I mean, it's here. I mean, it's,
yeah,
technically.
No, it's utterly amazing. You know, 5-6 weeks ago, you couldn't have gotten this bet in Vegas, or at least not a very good bet. But, yeah, I think people, thankfully, persevered, and, you know, it's going to be a long couple of months, but who cares? I mean, it's better than sitting around talking about, I'm not sure what we would be talking about. But it's been a pretty amazing, I mean, we're a month away from when the Big Ten and Pac-12 shut down. And, yeah, really, everything has gone right for college football since then, and everything has gone wrong for the Big Ten.
What is the lesson? And maybe we don't know it yet. Maybe we will find that out in time. But is there a lesson in any of this, in all of this, about college football? Is it that there is absolutely positively, short of a nuclear missile launched from elsewhere, that nothing would stop college football from happening?
Well, I think that's what people will say, but I think one lesson is very fundamental. Just if you don't have to make a decision, don't make it. I mean, how many times have we all said, "I'm done. I'm not doing that anymore." Wait till the last possible minute before making a call. And I realize this thing could blow up tomorrow. But if you're sitting there as one of the 14 Big Ten schools, you have to be asking yourself, why did we make that call on August 11th? Yes, the situation was grim. Yes, myocarditis was scary, but all you had to do was stay the course, delay the season. And, I mean, we've already seen it last Saturday night with Memphis. We're going to see it tomorrow night with Miami. It's been weird. I mean, the game Monday night was hard to watch. their games being postponed, but I really don't care about that anymore, and I'm not overly concerned about scare headlines. I mean, I think let's see where we go, and if we get there, fine. If we don't, at least we tried.
How concerning, you mentioned concern, how concerning then we saw the news where Lincoln Riley says he's no longer going to publicly release the test results for coronavirus. And frankly, Paul, it feels like that's the case in a lot of places. We're seeing something similar at Memphis. How concerning for you is that? Do you agree that the competitive disadvantage line, or at least that's the narrative he's spinning?
Yeah, I mean, I it's hard to get outraged over it because he's doing what every big-time coach and middle-time coach is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are competitors, and I think it's wrong. I think it's an important. We're not talking about a nagging injury here, an ankle, a tweak that may or may not put the starting quarterback in the game. But we knew months ago that if we got to September and there was football, that the coaches would try to figure out a way, and they are going to. And I mean, I do this every day like you guys. I still don't understand the protocols. I mean, I know there's going to be a lot of testing, but the thing that seemingly is driving these coaches crazy is the contact tracing, because right. It knocks out players that aren't COVID positive, and you know, we heard that from Jeremy Pruitt the other day.
Right, and I guess the hope would be that with advancements in, you know, rapid testing, that you don't have to do that. But really, who knows? At this point, Paul, what could end this? I mean, now that we've sort of the ball's rolling. I mean, the SEC and all. But what is going to keep these? You know, what's going to stop it? Is there anything at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are always scenarios. I mean, just already, the Big 12 had a couple of games canceled. By the way, none that were all that, you know, Baylor and Louisiana Tech, I mean, I'll get over it, okay? There are a couple of other ones. But I think when you get 2 weeks from now, and, you know, suddenly Alabama, Missouri, and Tennessee, so, I mean, you start getting two or three games knocked out, and this happens a week or two in a row, and get that unfortunate player who gets really sick. And I think that's really been the line you've heard constantly is, you know, the hospitalizations are almost non-existent. Young people aren't getting sick. I mean, that's great. I'm glad to hear it. But if that were to ever turn, I think it would cause some issues. And just, I mean, it's not the same situation as it was back in March mm-hmm. with Rudy Gobert, but it does, you know, the media now has been lulled to sleep. I'm immune. I mean, I've got COVID fatigue, I'm sure. I mean, that's right. Not maybe the wisest thing to say, knowing that people are suffering, whether it's from illness or economically. But, I mean, there's only so many times you can have the same conversation.
Yeah. We're, of course, talking to Paul Feinbaum, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, catching on ESPN Radio and the SEC Network. You know, one, I guess, unintended consequence of the Big Ten and the Pac-12 deciding to postpone their football seasons is that schools like Memphis get an opportunity to step into that spotlight. And that's exactly what happened on Saturday, Memphis versus Arkansas State. And, you know, this is probably an opportunity Memphis would not have otherwise had. What did you make of Memphis? And what do you think of opportunities like this for schools like Memphis who are, you know, going to have national TV audiences that, again, they otherwise would not have had in a normal year?
Well, I think it was fabulous. And, you know, Memphis has had some good moments, you know, especially with the primetime game and game day last year. And, you know, I mean, this is a program that's been on the map. But, you know, you get a night like that, and normally on a Saturday, I mean, there are so many games competing with each other, especially as you get into September and October, you have baseball. Basketball is obviously on a very strange schedule, but you know, it's hard to stand alone. I think Memphis did that once last year on that primetime Saturday night game on ABC, but you know, rarely has it been the focal point. And what's really interesting, I think, and you know, people can debate this all they want, but as long as Memphis wins, Memphis fans can at least make a claim that we are alive for the college football playoff. And that's something that in a normal year is just impossible, because there is probably not that game that they can hang their hat on that gives them enough juice. Now, they may still not have that,
mm-hmm.
but at least – you keep it alive until you finally get to the better schools in your league and whatever. Because I mean, right now, I don't think you're going to see anyone outside the Power Five, but it's not impossible. I mean, you could see just an utterly bizarre season unfold where you get a couple of teams that literally cannibalize each other, or maybe an Alabama team doesn't play one weekend and it knocks them out. So I think that's probably the best concept, the most, whether it's intended or unintended. That's what Memphis benefited by being the spotlight game on Saturday night.
What's good for Tennessee this year, Paul? I mean, we see they're on the uptick. Feel like Pruitt's got it under control now. But with that schedule, is 5-5? Let's set aside COVID. Say you get through 10 games on your schedule. Is 5-5 good for Pruitt this year? Is that progress?
I don't think it is. I think what in a strange way to answer this, progress is not slipping back. Mm-hmm. And you know, Tennessee last year had a good record. It didn't really have a what I would call great wins. I mean, it threw away the first part of the season so badly with the first two losses. And I think what it has to avoid is getting off to a bad start. What I mean by that is you lose to South Carolina and suddenly you are in trouble.
Right.
I mean, it's a compressed season now, and I don't think we're used to it. We're used to thinking Tennessee is going to get three or four non-conference wins, although this year against Oklahoma, I'm not sure that would have been the case. So, yeah, you know, with a 10-game season, you start off 0-1, and then you got Georgia coming up pretty quickly in Alabama, and you could be in trouble quickly. I also think the end of the season is important for them. They have to beat Florida. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt is ultimately going to be considered a moderately big-time coach. You can't lose to Florida every year.
You know, I want to go back to sort of the Big Ten and the Pac-12. There is now, political leaning going on with the Big Ten as politicians have asked the Big Ten to rethink the postponement. They seem pretty resolute in their decision. But what's the end game here, Paul? I mean, do you think they ultimately just stick with it and don't play again until November? I mean, at this point, it feels like that's probably the most likely scenario. Is that sort of where you are on it?
Yeah, I think the only way they were going to be able to save face would have already been to announce we're coming back first week of October and let the football playoff wait for them, which they probably would have. But it's over now. I mean, you're coming back in late October, November. It really doesn't matter. They're not part of the playoff. And with a team like Ohio State, which by all accounts was, you know, one of the better Ohio State teams in recent history, and that says a lot considering they won one national championship under Urban Meyer, probably should have won another one the following year with Ezekiel Elliott. And then the team last year was certainly good enough to be in consideration. But the politics are terrible. I watched the governor of Michigan on television this morning, and she's clearly against playing. It was really pathetic listening to her answer a question. Well, you know, it's too bad, but there'll be football next year. Well, I mean, if you're a Michigan football fan or an Ohio State or Wisconsin fan, that doesn't really satisfy you when you're sitting around Saturday, whether you're at a bar or at home, watching college football being played.
You know, one thing I find really unfortunate about the way college football is at least set up right now, again, setting COVID aside, is the fact that you can't have a Memphis and Tennessee play every year. We've even talked about with you about the importance of that basketball rivalry and how it feels like something you just should do. And Memphis has been in a position where there was no value in it for Tennessee. But now that the program's reached a level now where you've got some national attention, there's value there. We understand it's hard, though, for Memphis to get those games because if you beat a Tennessee, that can ruin their season. But can we get back to a point, Paul, where you've got teams like that, potential rivalries like that just happening just because? You ever think you can convince Tennessee again to play Memphis every year?
Probably not. And, you know, having been on both sides of that rivalry, as you guys know, I mean, the view from Knoxville is really fairly pathetic. I don't know why they still have that view, considering how bad that program has been. But, you know, the game, what was it, nearly 20 years ago that Peyton Manning lost really, really stuck with them. Yeah, I remember that. That was a fun game, and it should be a fun game. But, you know, Tennessee, I don't think will go that route anymore. Frankly, I don't know why. Going out to Oklahoma, Oklahoma has not – I mean, that game is not going to do them a whole lot of good. But they just feel like, you know, Tennessee feels like it's better than Memphis, and that they always have. And, you know, I don't know. There's only one way for Memphis to change that, and is to keep winning and change the paradigm.
Yeah. And then last thing, Paul, I'm sure you've seen the reports this morning as the rest of, you know, college sports tries to figure out what it's going to do. The ACC is proposing that everybody, every single team in Division I, that's 351 teams, make the NCAA tournament. Does that sound appealing to you?
Well, I think the reason they're trying to do that is to make sure everybody plays college basketball. But to me, that's already the purpose of the college of the ACC or the SEC or any other tournament. I don't know what they said about that, but how are you going to be able to sell a conference tournament if everyone's already going to move to the next level? But because I'll watch it. I mean, all we're talking about is another weekend. But you're destroying a big moneymaker for every one of these conferences, and it's pretty exciting. You know, pick your conference. You know, when a team comes out of nowhere and is playing Saturday or Sunday, whether it's, you know, Conference USA, whether it's anyone else, and you know, if that is not a prize and there's no automatic bid, then what's the sense of playing those tournaments?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Paul, man, we appreciate the time as always.
Thank
you're
you,
a busy
Paul.
Man. Thank you.
Guys, it's always a pleasure to be on. See you guys.
Yep. He is Paul Finebaum, host of the Paul Finebaum Show on ESPN Radio and the SEC Network. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN.
This is Gary Parrish, host of the Gary Parrish Show for the 8th straight year. Can you believe that? We've been doing this show for 8 years, and the very first company who ever advertised on the show was Cooper Systems. They've never left, and I'll owe Lee and Lauren Cooper forever for that. Anyway, I'm assuming by now you know the basics about Cooper Systems. You need a computer, that's your spot. You need computer repair, that's your spot. But did you know Cooper Systems also offers business networking and IT services for small to medium-sized businesses? It's true, they do. So if your network or server is not performing as well as it should, call Cooper Systems. They can design and troubleshoot your network or server, configure your firewall for maximum security, and improve your wireless network. They can get a certified network engineer out to your site and get you running smoothly again. So remember, if you need servers, business class workstations, routers, firewalls, laptops, desktops, Microsoft software licensing, Apple products, virus removal, anything, Cooper Systems is your spot. That is Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park, 360-9679 on the web, coopersystems.com.
Grab the usual suspects, pick your nearest or dearest trail, and get ready to leave your worries at base camp. Because Honda is here with a great getaway event to help our family of riders plan an escape from the routine. It's all happening now at DeSoto Honda in Olive Branch. That's where you'll find exclusive offers on your favorite Honda motorcycles, ATVs, and side-by-sides, like the 4Trax Foreman. Built to never quit, it offers the comfort you need on long rides and work days. Plus, the bigger engine for 2020 means even more of the proven power you expect from a Honda ATV. Right now, you can ride off on the Foreman and save big with up to $600 in factory to dealer incentives on select models. Visit or call DeSoto Honda, 5656 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and hatch a plan for adventure during the Honda Great Getaway Event. Factory to dealer incentives are good with select new and unregistered models. See dealer for complete program details.
I'm listening daily. You are not alone. During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. Here's Jay Moore on taking charge of your mental health.
I guess my mental health as well, and the quarantine was great for me because I was able to sort of examine where I was at, where I want to be with specifics, and what patterns I had been repeating because it was just me. There was nobody to repeat them with. You know, we lie to ourselves the most, we forgive ourselves the last. So that's kind of like being in an intervention. My bottom got brought to me really quickly as far as like mental health. There comes a time in your life where you do not have a choice to get your mental health under wraps or not. I don't get fearful, but when I started being fearful about my mental health, I went, no. You have to do it.
Join us September 23rd for the two-hour I'm Listening special with members of Cage the Elephant, Katy Perry, Luke Combs, Waka Flocka Flame, Jon Bon Jovi, medical experts, and more. For details, visit imlistening.org.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free.
Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. BABBEL.com.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Stress-free, that means no worrying about getting it ready to list, no going back and forth on the pricing. All you have to do is email your home address to investor@livelovememphis.com for a free analysis. No obligation, no hassle, just an offer. investor@livelovememphis.com.
Or you can call 901-685-6000. That's what I did approaching 2 years ago now, almost 2 years, be 2 years in October. I asked for Jennifer Carstens. She's the captain of that team, that hardworking team over at Live Love. They'll get you out of the home you're in right now. And listen, it's a lot better market for you right now as a seller. Probably going to get a lot more than you think you can. In many cases, thousands more. A lot better market than it was 2 years ago when I bought. Inventory is low, so do it with Jennifer. 901-685-6000. She's got a great team. As I said, the job was easy for them 2 years ago. No question about it. But they know the market the best, right? And Jennifer lives and works in Germantown, so if you want to get out there, she can really help you. Again, 901-685-6000. It's the Live Love Memphis group at RE/MAX Experts. They're great at what they do. They're at livelovememphis.com.
And we're back, Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Going to be joined by Jason Fitz a little bit later in the show. Looking forward to that. A lot to get to. NFL tomorrow. Like, wow. Can you even believe that? Like, NFL games.
It feels weird because you didn't have the preseason. That you're already up on games that matter. And for the Denver Broncos, man, what a hit they took yesterday, losing Von Miller for the year there toward the end of practice. You're right up on the season. It's about to start. Titans, too, you got on Monday night, too, right? And they lost a big piece at the end of practice in Vaughn with it about to be real. Yes. Unfortunate for the Broncos. Too bad.
Yeah.
I guess that's what Navy was thinking when they didn't do tackle in practice. Unfortunately, you have to tackle to get ready for a game.
To actually be able to, yeah, look decent out there.
Yeah.
We're all excited about it. That's two high-dollar quarterbacks going after tomorrow night, and Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. It'll be interesting to see. Are they as explosive, you know, Houston, at least offensively, with, and now a new core? What is it? It's Randall Cobb, it's Stills and Fuller.
Yep.
Basically, you take subtract DeAndre Hopkins, who just got his money, by the way, from Arizona.
Yeah.
Still in a decent situation because they love to throw it around. Kyler Murray had one of the best deep balls in the NFL last year. But what becomes of Houston without DeAndre Hopkins, we'll see. Can that defense stay healthy enough? We'll see. A lot of folks have looked at that as it's still Titans and Colts there. But maybe, you know, because it's Deshaun Watson, probably shouldn't underestimate them.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the interesting things that I read today was like there is this piece up scouting report, right? Like an anonymous scouting report in the AFC. It's AFC Confidential is what they call it. And they go through basically every team in the AFC. And you want me to read you some of the stuff they have about Titans, Raiders?
Absolutely. Give me to Titans more specifically. I think more people here care about that than that latter team there.
All right, so here's what one scout says about the Titans. I don't think Ryan Tannehill's as good as he was last year. That was a statistical anomaly.
There's a good possibility of that.
But I think that his physical skill set is pretty good. He's a really good athlete. He's got a strong arm. Mm-hmm. He's mobile. Derrick Henry's been productive, really, since high school, going to Alabama, getting in the league. But his style is rugged, takes a lot of hits. Good scheme, versatile players, physical, some greater than the parts. Mike Vrabel will cook some stuff up and scheme pressures. They'll be sound. I think Jadeveon Clowney will solve a hole. I don't think Vic Beasley does. It was more of a flyer, and it was an expensive one. So that's what they think about. Here's what they think about you. Here's what they think about.
Doesn't sound like they're over the moon on the Titans as a division winner, quite frankly.
And let's go to Las Vegas. I think they have continuity. They did not change a whole lot, whereas Denver changed offensive coordinators, and the Chargers have a new quarterback. I think that continuity with a veteran